Welcome to Hey, It's Julie, a podcast about a regular person talking to other regular people about their stories. Now, let's take a peek into the lives of other people with your host, Julie Vasello.
Hey, it's Julie. I wanted to give you a brief disclaimer for the episode you're about to listen to. Oh, and an apology. I'm not quite sure what happened, but as my guest and I were recording, everything seemed to be functioning normally. After almost an hour-long chat, we wrapped up, and when I went to go check the audio files, I realized my microphone had malfunctioned and didn't work with the recording app I was using. So my audio sounds awful. I'm a big believer in quality, and this audio does not meet my quality standards. And for that, I apologize. My guest even offered to re-record because he's awesome, and he's also a podcaster, so he gets it. But I couldn't take up more of his very busy schedule. And I wanted you to be able to hear his great story, so I didn't want to delay the episode any further. So I made a decision to go forward with the episode as it was recorded. I'm human, like you are. And as humans, sometimes we mess up. Thank you for your understanding. And now, without further delay, here's the episode.
Hey, it's Julie. Do we judge our mechanic by his or her ability to pass a calculus test? Of course not. So what does that have to do with my guest for this episode? I'm about to tell you. Based in New York City, Janayat Iqbal is a career consultant who set on shattering the stigma associated with hiring people without college degrees. He believes that regardless of background, academic achievement, or formal education, everyone has something to offer and everyone deserves meaningful work, especially since a degree is usually not an accurate representation of a person or their intelligence in the first place. He's not anti-education, though. He holds a Master of Science in Actuarial Science and a Bachelor of Arts in Applied Mathematics and Economics. He worked as an actuary for a few years before he cashed out his retirement so he could pursue working on nodegree.com. While he understands that the college route isn't for everyone and is committed to helping them find meaningful career paths, he also works with those with college degrees. He's worked on over 75 candidates, many of whom have gotten jobs at places like Tesla, Amazon, AT&T, and MetLife. Janayat has a unique background. He was born in Bangladesh, moved to New York City when he was 3 years old, and learned English by watching cartoons on TV. He's an avid networker, always looking to create meaningful connections with others, both professionally and personally. Janayat is a friendly and open-minded person, dedicated to his family and friends. People around him describe him as a kind, supporting, caring person whose mission is to help others. He's the founder of NoDegree.com and NoDegree Podcast. He also creates resumes and operates ACE virtual events. I would say his story definitely qualifies as an interesting reinvention story. I'm going to let him tell you the details. Janayat, welcome to Hey, It's Julie. I'm excited to learn more about your journey so far and all the things you're working on.
Wow, I'm excited too. That's actually me?
That's actually you.
Thank you for having me, and I'm ready. Let's go. Ask away.
Okay, so in my Reinvention Adventure subseries on this podcast, I speak about the journey of reinventing yourself. The subseries is geared towards small business owners of all ages who are just starting out. And one of the first topics I covered was called the big idea. So let's begin our chat with your big idea. How did you come up with the idea for NoDegree.com?
So do you know Reddit?
Yes.
So there's something called Ask Reddit. People ask questions and people give answers, right? They ask about all types of things. So someone asked, for those of you without a college degree who make over six figures, what do you do and how'd you get the job? And the top, I remember one of the top answers was claims adjuster. Some other answers were surveyor, elevator repair, HVAC, all these other types of jobs. And when I thought back, I was like, no one in like elementary, middle or high school says, I want to grow up and be a claims adjuster.
Or an elevator operator.
Yeah, right? Unless their mom does it. Right. Or unless your dad does it. And all the answers were like, how'd you get the job? It was like my cousin, my uncle, my friend, my neighbor. And then I was like, what if you don't have that uncle or cousin or friend? Like how you have to like randomly stumble upon this career. And I was like, why can't I be that uncle, cousin or friend? I could literally help people. So then I was like, OK, I searched up trades.com, but trades.com was taken. And it was for sale, but there, you know, that's like $1 million domain.
Yeah, so sure.
I searched up Node. I was like, what about NoDegree.com? I searched it up. I put an inquiry. Didn't expect much of it. And a few days later, so they came back. They're like, hey, we're willing to sell this site for $1,800. And then I called a few of my buddies and who are my business partners today. I said, look, we could buy it. Let's go buy it. And then it was like, we just put 600 each, right? Three of us.
Yeah.
And then one of my business partners said, hey, look, I did some research. They're a domain reseller. Let's negotiate. And we got it for like $1,433.
Oh, that's cool.
And then that's how it started. And I was like, look, I really want to introduce people to just different careers, right? I want to tell people, like, what is a claims adjuster? What do they do? How do you get this job? Because for a lot of people, careers, it's like they only know of like 10 careers. Like, oh, doctor, lawyer, engineer, CEO. You know,
that's true.
They only know a handful. And then it's like people like, oh, I'm going to major in business. It's like, what? There's so many things in business. Like, what does that even mean? Like, and then even like within accounting, there are accountants who do small business, accountants that do certain industries. There are accountants that focus on tax. There are accountants that focus on audits. There are accountants that focus on fraud. You know, so even within industries, there's so much diversity. So I was like, I can really make a difference. And, you know, I was in grad school at the time. This was April 2014. 7 years ago. And I, you know, it started with a couple of guys in a basement, and then it sort of grew from there. And then I spent a lot of years doing a lot of research. Unfortunately, I don't come from a wealthy family. I still live at home, you know, no shame about it.
No. Why should there be any shame about it?
Yeah. No, I mean, look, you get some things from people, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm focused more on the future. Right. And I'll do what I have to do.
Exactly. And your parents and your family want to support that. They want you to be viable so that someday when you're on your own, like all parents want that for their children.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't come from a wealthy family, or else I would have just done that full time. So I sort of needed a job. I got a job, you know, I worked as an actuary, but all my free time I used to spend reading about marketing, sales, SEO, just business. And I just have a lot of knowledge in these domains. Now, I'm not saying I'm an expert in any one domain, but I have a decent amount of knowledge to apply it to my business, or enough knowledge where I can identify someone who really knows their stuff.
Enough to be dangerous, as they
say. Enough to be dangerous. So
wait a minute. Wait, back up a second. You taught yourself marketing, business, because your degree isn't really in marketing and business. I mean, economics, yes, but not... So you taught yourself all of these very high concepts that people go to school for and get degrees in. You taught yourself.
Now, look, that doesn't mean I can necessarily work in marketing. It just means I know enough marketing to market my own business, right?
Right.
I'm going to be, you know, like, can I learn marketing and can I get that role? Yeah, I can strap down and, you know, go down that route. Like SEO, like, I know enough SEO to kind of understand, you know, how to get my site up and, you know, do some things and how to hire the right people, right? I have a lot of specific knowledge. It does not necessarily mean I can help someone get pointed in the right direction, but not necessarily like would someone pay me for that knowledge? Not necessarily, but I have enough, you know, to kind of talk about it and again, be dangerous.
You'd be surprised at what people would pay you for when it comes to marketing and things like that, because although there's a lot of hard skills in marketing, and this is, you know, from my own background, there's also a lot of soft skills. I got into marketing with soft skills and I developed the hard skills. So it can be done. Reinvention's everywhere.
I've applied marketing principles like to my own LinkedIn profile. I've gotten over like 20 to 25 million views. I've applied it to my own business. You know I'm very strategic when I do things, right? And again, I learned a lot about sales. Like I've sold, you know, well, a couple hundred K worth of my own business on the ACE virtual events. And I'm always learning. Look, I'm not saying I'm always learning. Like I never stop learning. That's something like I won't do, because once the fact is there's always more to learn, and I have a lot of room for improvement.
I feel like there's an infinite amount to learn out there, and I sometimes get overwhelmed with my desire to learn so much and just the lack of time.
No,
because you can't learn everything, you know.
Look, if I were really rich, I'd spend so much time just reading. Like I wish I could just spend like 2 months just reading like a book a day type thing.
Right.
No, but one day I'll get there.
That's amazing. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? So you did this idea. You came up with your big idea and you researched it for a while you were working a job. What made you think it was viable? Just because you saw that there was a need, you figured, okay, people will jump onto this, or you just took a chance and said, I think it's viable. It's based on some research and I think it could be something. What was it for you that made you think it was, you know, a good idea?
Because there's so many industries and there wasn't anything for people without college degrees. If you realize like a lot of things have popped up in the last year or two and over the last 3 to 5 years, but there really wasn't anything. It's like there, you know, the career space is so fragmented. Like there are literally people who go to college, spend over 150K and they still don't know how to find a job. And they still don't even know like what jobs are out there. Right. They literally.
So true.
So it's like, there's a huge market. And then I saw that there are people making like 100, 200K in careers that don't require degrees because they did a couple of the right things. And I saw that so many people who work retail, who like, you know, work fast food, they make like $8 to $15 an hour. And it's like and they work hard, right? A lot of these people, right. It's not a lack of work ethic. Because let me tell you, like, I work Popeyes, I work retail. Like, it's not an easy job.
No, it's brutal. Like, it's brutal.
Yeah, and then you deal with crazy customers and stuff, and they don't get paid. And a lot of them, it's like, they just don't know how to break into these careers. And I knew, like, hey, look, if I can get a website to a lot of traffic, it's something serious. And then as I did more research, I realized, like, there are a lot of job websites that cater to certain industries. Right, there are job boards that cater to accountants, that cater to finance, that cater to programmers, that cater to women in tech, some that cater to people in certain areas, right? Some that cater to the oil industry. So I was like, why can't I be one that caters to people without degrees, right? And that's look,
pretty brilliant, actually.
Yeah, there are blogs that cater to people who like certain types of socks, you know? So it's like, yes. If they can make money, I can make money, you know?
Absolutely. So we on this podcast, I often mention reinvention. So how did you go from being an actuary, which is the typical stable job, maybe not so typical, but it's a very stable job, to starting NoDegree.com? What was the leap there?
NoDegree.com was 2014. I got my first actuarial internship in May 2014, right? The end goal was always NoDegree.com, right? I just had to get a job so my parents would be off my back and, you know, whatever, save some money. And you know what? You learn a lot. You learn about companies and you learn about like what they're good at, what they're inefficient at. It was just like, that was a dream. Like every time, like anytime I had free time at work, if I wasn't talking to someone, because I used to walk around the office, talk to everyone, right? I was always a networker. Like I'm the type that talks to people on the lunch line, in the elevator. That's what I do. So when I wasn't doing that, I was always on Reddit. I was always reading the business stuff. I was always reading that. So that's what I would do. And I was like, look, this is what I want to do. And the impact is what drove me. I was like, look, I can make a serious difference. And look, I was always a good student. So for school, wasn't that hard for me. Like I was always like top three in the class. It was only like maybe in certain math classes where you have like people who are like super geniuses, right? That they would, you know, it would be a lot easier for them. But for me, school came easy. Like I remember, like I know people who went to med school and I'd study with them in high school. Like I'd go to their house to study for an hour. They would study before me, with me, and after me. And I'd just study with them and I'd score higher than them, right?
Wow.
You know, and look, I suck at art. So I suck at a lot of things. So don't think that I'm just like good in everything. But what happens is a lot of people, like I'm gifted when it comes to school, right? And I'm not the most gifted, but I'm gifted enough that I can do well in school and I can typically do, especially in certain classes. Like in econ, I had a 4.0 GPA. In math, I won awards.
Right.
But the fact is that there's more to me than that, right? And in fact, that's actually a small part of my personality. Like I'm, you know, it's more about like my networking abilities and my soft skills. And I know that there's so many people who have a lot of skills, but because they don't get good grades, they try so hard. Some of them worked harder than me to sort of get an 80, whereas like I worked half as much to get a 90. They're not like, they shouldn't be looked down upon. They just have different strengths and weaknesses, right?
Right, exactly.
And oftentimes I'll give like sports as an analogy. You look at someone like LeBron James.
Good example.
100% he works hard. 100% he does everything he needs to. But if LeBron James was 5'6", he wouldn't be LeBron James, right?
No.
There's always like certain other factors, right? Like not everybody's going to be an Einstein. In fact, very few people are going to be Einsteins, right? They're literally like once in a generation type people. But the fact is that there are lots of people who have different skill sets and they should have the ability to get careers that can actually support a life, right? I don't want them to live in poverty.
Yes, that's true. Actually, that's actually a really good, a good noble way to look at it. It's, you know, it's not about, some people get natural ability to do certain things.
Yeah.
And then some people don't, but they have other abilities and you're right. Everybody deserves a chance to work in a meaningful way.
Yeah. And look, I grew up where like grades were so emphasized to the point that it's sort of detrimental. Like I felt bad for the kids who didn't do as well. And their parents were like, oh, look at this kid who's doing well. Because look, I did well. And then my parents were like, oh, well, you got a 97. What about that kid who got a 99? Or what about that kid that 100? You know, there's always someone who's better than you or who's doing that a little better than you, right? But that shouldn't be, I don't know, kids, it's just way too emphasized. You know, I spent way too much time like studying. Like, I went to a very competitive high school where it's like, oh, if you went to community college, you were like a disgrace to the high school, right? Everybody, like, kids would cry. I remember it's like ridiculous. Like, kids would cry the day that they got their SAT, like, oh my God, I got a 2260. Like, I'm such a failure. Like, it's so corny, you know, because at the end of the day, it's like they judge and, you know, like, you know, it's just so emphasized that grades are so emphasized, what school you went to emphasize. And it's like all these people, it's like at the end of the day, it's like, what do you do for the world? How do you change lives, right? Because so many people who go to these institutions like the Harvards, the Yales, the Columbias, they go end up working for like these big companies that, cool, they make money. But I don't know. It's like you're having all these kids study their butts off so they could work at a Goldman Sachs for what? You know, like.
That's a really good point. And that segues to my next question for you. Because I too grew up in that environment where you get a 98 and it would be like, what did you get wrong? Well, I got 98% right. Doesn't that matter? So I understand that. And you know, that traditional go get a job, get a really good job, do this, do that, and everything will be fine. And at 35 years old, I ditched it all and opened an art gallery that I funded myself that I ran for 10 years because that was who I really wanted to be. Not the corporate, you know, person that was working whatever it was, 7 a.m. till 9 o'clock at night, you know, and it wasn't about the money at that point. It became about a life, you know, and having a life and doing different things to support other people who didn't have my skill set. So I actually really relate in a different way to what you were saying. And every business has a what and a why, right? So what's the why for your business?
Is to remove the stigma attached to people without college degrees. Because they're people too, and they have great skill sets, and historically they've always been denied opportunity. Like, I've seen so many people who can do the job, but it says must have degree. And you see it in marketing all the time.
Yeah.
Must have degree. There are people who have the same exact experience who can do all that, but oh, they don't have a degree? Too bad. Like, think about it. The top TikTok people, the top Instagram accounts, none of them are marketers.
No, they're like 16 years old.
They're like 16 to 24 year olds who understand. Obviously, there's some luck factor, but then there are some accounts that are very intentional in how they do things, right?
Like, absolutely.
You know, it just shows that you need to be accepting of people of all backgrounds because you have a lot to learn. And I just didn't like the rigid structure of a lot of industries. Like, and that's one of the reasons I love technology is because people in tech, like, you literally, like, the technology has only existed for 2 years. So you literally can't have someone with 20 years experience. And you see people of all backgrounds, all things, people who are 40 years old who jump in. And it just shows that, like, hey, look, there are so many passionate people who, if given a system or the chance, they do prove themselves, and they prove themselves in a crazy capacity.
I think technology is a big equalizer. And there's a lot of people in generations over 40 that think, oh, well, the young people have an advantage. No, absolutely not. I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I disagree with it too.
We all have an advantage. If you're older and you choose to learn what it is you need to learn to thrive in that environment with the technology, then you will do well.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you're older, you have more experience and you should have mastered the soft skills a lot more. You know, you have a lot more life experience. So if you learn the technology, you bring the technology and all your other skill sets, right? Like, now you have this new technology and 10 years of marketing experience or 10 years of working in this sector, and you can bring that. So a lot of times, like, people say, like, the young people, but I see so many old people, and a lot of the differentiator is the attitude, right?
Yes.
It's about your attitude towards things that, you know, like, a 15-year-old is not smarter. I mean, there are some very smart 15-year-olds,
no,
but in general, the 15-year-olds, it's not smarter than you. It's just that they're trying new things. And I think that's very important, that you always have to be willing to try new things.
Yes. And it doesn't necessarily have to just be technology either.
Yeah. No, new industries that are popping up. It's always good. Like, don't be dismissive, because now you have, like, the CBD industries, you have the cannabis industries. You know, these are new industries. I mean, regardless of how people feel about it, they're going to expand. They're going to grow. Now it's up to you to say, hey, no, I don't believe in that industry, or get involved somehow, right?
It's an opportunity, right? It could be either an opportunity or something you're going to shut down. And it's, you have the choice. Everyone has the choice. And you have to, you know, decide whether you want to be open-minded or continue on.
Yeah.
A lot of people continue on because it's a comfort zone. But what I try to promote on this podcast is that everyone reinvents themselves throughout their lives. And if you've always wanted to do something or you've wanted to own your own business, what are you waiting for? That's the whole premise of why I do what I do is you can do this. Here I am. I'm going to show you.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it always takes some sacrifice. Like, one thing I'll emphasize, like, the ability to live at home has allowed me to do it. Like, I'm not going to be like, hey, I came from nothing. And, you know, because look, my parents supported me. They, well, not like supported me in the business endeavor, but they let me live at home and not worry about rent. And that's a big thing. Like, you know, I didn't have to worry about $1,000 to $2,000, whatever it is, right?
Living in New York, especially.
Yeah, you know, like, you're spending at least $1,500 to $2,000 a month. So that's the minute. So, and the thing is, when I quit my job in August 2018, I was broke for like 16, 17 months. Well, actually, I was broke for 2 years. I started making money 16 months later, but then I had to like pay off some bills that I accumulated from not like really making much money.
None of it's easy. It's a sacrifice. And if it's something that's worth doing for you, you are willing to make that sacrifice and work hard. The hardest jobs I've ever had were the ones that I worked for myself.
Yeah, no, it's different. And, you know, it's hard, but it's so rewarding and it's
totally
so
rewarding. Oh, my God.
And it's not draining, you know, because I work less when I work corporate and I work more, but I was so much more tired then. And now, since I'm doing things that I enjoy doing and things that actually have an impact, I'm so much happier.
I think when you work for money, like in a corporate environment, a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people work for money. They don't have a personal mission that their corporate job is fulfilling. When you have a personal mission and you put yourself in that situation, no work day feels like work.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, you know, like, for example, this is technically work, right? And just before this call, I was helping like a friend on their resume. But it doesn't feel like work. Like, I'm not tired. No. I'm not drained. I'm
Me
not
either.
Like, oh my God, what am I doing? I need a, you know. So that's the other thing. You're so right. It makes such a difference. And, you know, I encourage everyone. And look, I understand. Look, business is not for everyone. Not everyone is geared that way, because I'm a certified career coach. And I tell people, like, business is not for everyone. Right?
There's Wait a minute. I don't know. I didn't know you were a certified career coach. Is that on your career consultant? Okay.
Yeah, well,
I didn't think of it as a career coach, so I was like, did I miss something on the bio?
You know what? So there's something called UMAP. Someone made it, and she wrote several award-winning books. And so I got certified by her as a career coach. So there's like a Gallup StrengthFinder test, so I assess people like that. And the fact is, like, I've done that for a lot of people. And people have different strengths, right? Some people value stability. And for them, business may not be the best thing. Some people value like authority and order. For them, it may not make the most sense, right?
Right.
For me, my top things, like, I'm futuristic. It says I'm self-assurance, which means a strong belief in yourself. So for me, I'm strategic. I like building up people and I like working and achieving things. So for me, being a business owner made sense. For some other people, you know, like, there's some people, if you paid them like $100,000 a year to pack boxes all day, they'd be like, okay, cool. I don't mind, you know,
that's
fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Whereas like, you paid me that, I'm gonna be like, okay, I'll do it. I'm gonna pay someone else like $70,000 a year, and then I'll use the $30,000 and I'll start another business. You know, that's how I'm gonna think, right? That's just how I'm, and you would probably think the same way, right?
That's awesome.
You know, because, or I'd find a way to like read a book while packing. You know, you gotta I'd listen to a podcast. Like, that's what I'm gonna do. Whereas some people, it's like, hey, I don't mind going day in and day out. So that's why it's like, because a lot of people who promote everybody should do a business, they're in the business of consulting people who do businesses. So they're
Everybody can't do business. It's not for everyone. You're absolutely right. And, you know, even if it's, some people can do a run a business of their own with a business partner, but not on their own. Like, they need someone else to bounce things off of. That's okay too. You know, whatever your model is that works for you, but reinvention happens throughout our lives in different ways. I just happen to focus on mostly the business reinvention, because I, at 35 years old, reinvented myself completely.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, I wish I did it earlier. You know,
you're doing great, believe me.
Yeah, but it's always, you know, there's this paradox. I forgot what the name is, but it's a paradox related to self-awareness. And it was saying that the more self-aware you are, the more you punish yourself for past mistakes. So it's like the gift and a curse, where it's like you understand things that are going on, but since you're so self-aware, like, one of my top skills is self-awareness. Like, that's, I know my limits. I know what I'm good at. I know who's better than me. I know who I'm better at certain things. And right, it's a gift in certain aspect, right?
But
I know
you beat yourself up a lot, but don't you?
I'm getting better at it, right? But it's one of those things, like, had I found NoDegree.com while I was in undergrad, I would not have gotten my master's, right? And I had debt from the master's. I didn't have debt from the undergrad. So these are like little things that you think about. But
I can understand that, but you know what? Education is never money poorly spent.
Nah, this one was poorly spent, but it's okay.
I think you probably learn things that somehow you don't realize you apply to your day-to-day today, even if it's not direct.
To be fair, look, it did give me a perspective because, like, what I realized, a lot of these institutions, they're full of very wealthy kids. Like, I'm talking about, like, their parents were paying them $5,000 to $6,000 a month for their rent on top of having, like, a monthly spend on top of paying their credit card bill. So it kind of opened me up to, like, really how different life is for a lot of people. Like, I remember that there were kids whose parents would buy them an apartment when they started school, sell the apartment when they graduated, and they made a profit too, right?
Wow.
New York City. So you realize that sometimes you're competing with people who come from a totally different point of privilege. And so that really inspired me in a lot of ways.
I think that's probably the best why story I've heard in a long time. So let's talk about resumes. So in addition to, as part of NoDegree, you help people with their resumes, right?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So I didn't start making money till I started doing resumes, because I had a friend who's making he was charging like $1,000 to $3,000 off resumes. He'd make a lot of money.
Wow.
Now, I was like, okay, you know what? I'll do resumes. And I started at like $100 to $150, and I quickly increased my prices to like $200 to $300.
Still very reasonable.
Yeah. And then I was very unique in my process in that I spent 3 to 6 hours on someone with their resume. Some people I spent 8 hours with.
Wow.
And I would write their resume line by line in front of them. So I would teach them how to write their resume while writing it in front of them. And then I'd help them with their LinkedIn profile, job search strategy, cover letter stuff. And now it's like I charge $300 for like the college student. More professionals, I charge closer to like $450 to like $800. And it depends on experience. And I have a unique model in that I charge half up front. For the college student, they pay up front. But if I'm charging someone $600 on a resume, they pay half up front, $300. And they pay the second half after we're done. And if and only if they're completely satisfied.
Oh, that's fair.
Because I used to charge $300. But what happened was people were like, wow, this was so much worth the money. I would have paid, you know, I would definitely paid more for this. But you can't say, okay, so pay me more, right? So, because a lot of people have no issue paying someone who does a great job. And they really don't realize how in-depth I go. But they don't realize it till working with, you know, until after working with me. So that's why I did it that way. And people, like, I've had people, and I made deals. I was like, look, if you're not happy, you don't pay. And people, like, I was working with a lawyer, and he was like, hey, this was worth every single penny.
Wow. Do you have reviews on your website? Because if you don't, you should.
Yeah. I have it on my LinkedIn profile. I just hit 100 reviews.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I've worked with I've done over 300 resumes. But the reason I did resumes was because it allowed me to help people, because I've gotten people like $20,000 to $64,000 salary increases. That's my biggest one. $64,000 salary increase.
That's amazing.
And I saw it as a way where I could get paid for case studies, because working in the career space, each person, I learn more. I learn about how is it for a woman who's this age, or how is it for a minority in this space? And I get a lot of details because I learn what they do. I learn what they make. I learn about the issues they face. I learn why they're changing. I learn why they like the industry. I learn why they don't. So I've gotten all this info. So I spent thousands of hours talking to candidates, and it's helped me so much. And that's why it's like, I learn more. So it's like I'm getting paid to talk to someone. I don't even like doing resumes that much. I like talking to people. I just do the resume while talking to them.
Which is very cool. And actually, with the NoDegree.com, it makes sense. You're like the total package.
Yeah. So it gave me a lot of insights on like the actual things that they do at their job and what skills they actually need. Because they told me, they're like, oh, yeah, I learned this on a job. I didn't learn it in college. Or, hey, here's the thing. So I learn about how much I can get salary increases, because you get so much info. And it just allows me to always, like, anytime one of my friends needs help, it's like, hey, look, I'll help you out. And I did resumes for doctors, lawyers, dentists, you know, like all types of. And it's like, cool. You know, it's cool that I've been able to kind of do all these types of industries.
That's amazing. You know, I actually really like your branding. I wanted to mention that to you. Your branding for No Degree on your website is really cool. It's like a black and white logo.
Yeah.
Anyone who's listening should definitely go to nodegree.com and check it out. I'm going to have Janayan's contact information in the episode notes, so you'll be able to see all that. But did you come up with that on your own, the marketing, the branding for the resume? The resume, listen to me. I said the branding for the resume, the branding for the website.
Yeah, I had some help, you know, with my, so I had it for with my business partners, but the font, you know, it's a collegiate font.
Yes.
So I was notice. Like, so I was like, yo, that's like a, cause No Degree is a, and it kind of happened organically. Some of it was like unintentionally intentional, if that makes sense.
It does.
Like, you know, the black and white, I really like that color scheme because it's like, look, it's like the company's like a rebel, right? They have like the marketing archetypes, like we're a rebel company, right? So it's like, it's kind of like the, we're going against things that were historically black and white. It's like a fight against the old versus the new kind of thing. So it kind of goes into that. So, and
yeah, that makes sense.
And I want to like start, like we're working on like starting like a, some clothing lines and stuff where we have, you know, the collegiate hoodies, but we wanted to kind of do like, it says No Degree, but now it's like the No Degree Northeast edition, and it's like the Harvard colors.
Oh.
No Degree, you know, kind of just making fun because people like do these things. So I kind of wanted to make like shirts like No Degree, No Loans.
Yeah, you right? gotta have the merch, man. You gotta get that out there.
Yeah, I gotta get the merch out there. But yeah,
and you've got creative ideas for the merch. I mean, you gotta get going on that.
Yeah, I gotta get. You know, there's so much to do, but. Like, I'm really excited to kind of do that. But yeah, that's kind of like I was intentional with the branding and, you know, it kind of evolved. It like stayed that way. It's just like a simple black and white, easy to see. And it's apparent, you know, easy to see on the phone, like the black stands out. So that's kind of how I went with the branding.
I just really liked the collegiate font because it was like almost like saying, haha, we're doing it too. That's what it felt like to me.
No, that's kind of what we're aiming for.
So your branding's effective because I got it right away.
Yeah,
I totally picked up on that.
And then the beauty is like people remember it right away. Like there are people who forget my name all the time, all that stuff, but they remember, oh, No Degree, that's a No Degree guy. And if I do that, I won.
Hey, the No Degree guy is better than some of the other things you could get called. So yeah. I think the No Degree guy is pretty funny calling you the No Degree guy with all your degrees that you have.
Yeah. You know what's funny? People don't even realize that I have a master's degree. So
you're very accessible. You're very accessible to talk to. And for someone who's got an advanced degree in, you know, the advanced degree that you have, actuarial science, right? But math and economics also, you don't seem like a math and economics guy.
Yeah. You know what? It's like, I've always been like ever since high school, I've been like a real people person. I've always talked. That's something I generally enjoy talking to people. And it's just like, you learn so much from people. So that's kind of why I went that route. And here's the other thing. It's like, I want to be accessible to a lot of people because so many people are like inaccessible. And the fact is, it's like, I don't define myself by my degree. Like so many people define themselves by where they went to school, by their degree and stuff, but that doesn't define me. And it's not something I really bring up in conversation, you know, unless like it comes up because at the end of the day, it's like, it matters about what I do and how I help the world.
So how do you define success? By how you help the world?
For me, yeah. You know, how I help the world, how I impact the world, and just being happy. You know, being able to impact my family and friends and just making a difference. Like, that's for me, that's successful.
That's pretty cool. So what's the ultimate goal for NoDegree.com? Like, when you feel like you've reached your definition of what business success is for NoDegree.com, what will
the
it
ultimate,
look
like? The ultimate success, I'm not going to hit it for a long time just because of how big the mission is, but if I got so big that colleges actually had to lower their tuition, then I'm successful.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So it's funny because the No Degree guy would make tuition more affordable.
Let me tell you, if anybody can accomplish that, it's probably you.
Thank you. It'll be a long road, but I'm excited. And it's one of those things I know I'll do the rest of my life.
So you also host No Degree Podcast, right?
Yeah.
So was podcasting a natural part of what you were doing for your website, or was it something you wanted to add on for like additional value for your brand? What was the mission of the podcast?
You know, the thing is, it's like, you know, it's funny. When I was younger, me and my friends, we always used to have funny conversations. I was like, well, we should have a TV show or something like where people record our conversation. So I didn't know, like, podcasting wasn't really a thing, right? Obviously, podcasts has existed in many forms, but it started growing like 2017, 2018. And
yeah, it's really blown up. It's really blown up a lot.
So in 2019, I was like, look, I enjoy talking to people. I want to share the stories. And it was like, this is a way I can organically have conversations with people who don't have degrees. They can talk about their stories. They can talk about what made them successful. And it allowed me to give advice to people, because what happens is so many people ask me for advice. And look, I help people for free. There are some people, you know, I also charge people, but I kept on getting the same questions. So it's like, how do I prepare for an interview? So I was like, let me just make a podcast episode on how to prepare for an interview, because I'm saying the same exact things to these people. Why right. not make it? And then I was like, from a marketing standpoint, it's like podcasting is very powerful because they hear the advice in my own voice.
Yes.
When people read, they read in their own voice, but podcasting is in my own voice, and it allows me to distribute, and it allows me to just really reach a lot of people. And from a, I was like, if I want to compete with these big companies, right? I was like, I'm competing with Indeed. I'm competing with ZipRecruiter. I was like, Indeed is not going to start the Indeed podcast, right? And if they do, people are not going to look at it the same way, because podcasting is about that family, that, you know, that connection and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, they're not going to have the CEO of Indeed. And even if they do, that person's so out of touch with the average person. So that's kind of why I did it. And I get to interview a lot of people. I've interviewed like UFC fighters and all that. So it's like, cool. Like, I love podcasting. I could do like, I could podcast for like 5 to 8 hours a day. So for me, it was just an organic extension, and it just plays into my brand.
I love it too. And you know, it's funny that you said that about giving advice, because I experienced some of the same thing. You know, would give advice to people, and I give advice for free all the time. But after a while, when you answer the same questions, it is easier to just add, you know, create something in your voice that gives the advice and that anyone can listen to. And that's one of the reasons that I started the subseries as part of the Hey, It's Julie podcast. The Reinvention Adventure subseries was born out of people asking questions over and over again.
Yeah. And look, it does get sometimes annoying, right? Because it's like, you know, it's the same thing over and over again to a certain extent. But
yeah, I know what you mean. But, you know, it gave you a podcast episode.
Yeah. So now it's like, hey, look, I get to still help people while freeing up my time. And I get to help people at scale, because that's always the hard part, helping people at scale, which gets tough, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to do the one-on-one. And then the fact is, like, and I say this in podcast episodes and stuff, but I help people for free. But I help people who help themselves. So if someone comes into, they're like, hey, I listened to 5 to 10 episodes of my podcast, thank you so much, I'll be like, hey, look, if you need some resume help, I'll spend some time with you, right? You've invested time into my podcast. You've invested time into yourself. If I have time, I'm more than happy to help you.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I don't publicly say that, because
well, you just did.
Yeah. But look, let me tell you, if someone puts the effort of listening to you on your podcast and they listen to it, I'm more than happy to help them.
Right. And you know what? I'm the same way. I know exactly what you mean. You can't help everyone. It's impossible. And yes, you and I both need to make a living doing what we're doing. But at the end of the day, we want to help people. And that's our ultimate goal, is to use our talents to help other people.
Yes.
So exactly. If we can do that and give back to someone who's given to us in whatever small way, I'm with you. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Let's do it. You know,
that's that. You know, I won't publicly post like, hey, if you listen to my podcast, I'll help you, because then people game the system and all that stuff. So.
And they don't get it. They don't, yeah. They're not really, their intentions aren't pure. I like pure intentions.
No, same here.
Tell me about a winning moment that happened with your business that made you realize you were making an impact.
You know, like one of my first ones, right? I had someone I connected to on LinkedIn, and I didn't charge him, but he eventually paid me. But he was unemployed, just like, you know, things weren't working out. He had a couple of debts in the family. It was just tough for him. And I was like, oh, let me help you with your resume. Did his resume, and he was working, you know, his last job was working at a tire shop. He got a job as a solar roofer at Tesla.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, and it was just like, he told me he was getting overtime and all that. And, you know, I keep in touch with him, and he's always like supporting me. And he told me, he's like, hey man, thanks. Like, you know, now I'm able to afford, you know, gymnastics classes for my daughter. I paid off all my debt. And that was like a big win, because it was like, look, he was such a good guy who was honest, who, you know, just young, had a family, you know, has two kids. And, you know, I was able to make a difference in his life, right? And that difference is real when you get someone a job, because when I get someone, you know, these raises and they get like a serious 20 to 50K raise. That's like a real impact. Like now
that's incredible.
Out of power. Like, think about it. I was happy. Like, some people are happy to get a 50K a year job. Now imagine that as a raise. That's like astronomical. Like, I've been able to do it repeatedly. And it's just such a great feeling.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. And I bet that person is your almost like a buyer persona in your mind as you're thinking about your business.
No,
they've become the example of that, which is incredible.
Yeah, because it's like, I know how it is. I work these jobs. I work fast food. I worked as a waiter for 3 days. And
you know what I think? Everyone in the world should have to graduate from school and work as a waiter and a cook in a restaurant.
They should.
At least a year. Forget about the army. Forget about all that. They should. Everyone should have to do that. And then work in retail for a year.
Yeah.
And then they can go do whatever job they're going to do.
Because it's like, you see how people treat retail workers. They treat them as if they're subhuman and they're horrible. Dumb. And they look at waiters. They're like, oh, don't do. And it's like, look, how can you say don't become a waiter when you dine in at a restaurant? Don't use their service.
Exactly. You know, go order out.
You know, don't look down on people who provide your service, because it's like, you can cook at home. You can do these things. You know, don't look down on the people, because at the end of the day, every job has a value to society, and society would break down. And the jobs that don't really have value, they sort of don't exist anymore, right? Like, people are not whatever.
Elevator operators.
Yeah. You know, there are only a handful left, but it's like, they don't exist. They don't provide value. But the jobs that do exist, it's like, stop looking down on these people, right?
Yeah. I don't think anyone should ever look down on anyone in terms of life, not just work, but definitely, you know, they should definitely not look down on someone because of a career.
Yeah.
I don't think you're better than anyone because you have more of an education or you have more experience. All that is an opportunity for you to take that experience and help someone else learn. Pay it forward.
Yeah.
That's how I think of it.
No, I'm the same way. It's like, look, have your impact on the world, make the world a better place for everyone so that people don't have to go through the same things that you had to go through.
Exactly. All right, I have one last thing for you before we wrap up. In one of my Reinvention Adventure episodes, I mention elevator pitches, and I go through the whole process of, you know, an elevator pitch for a business. Can you tell me your elevator pitch as a real world example of what one sounds like for my listener?
Yeah. So thankfully I have an easy elevator pitch. Here's the slightly longer one. My name is Junaid Iqbal. I help people without college degrees find meaningful jobs that pay well. I'm the founder of NoDegree.com and host of the No Degree podcast, where I interview people without college degrees and have them share their stories.
That's perfect. That's the absolutely best example I could provide for my listeners. Amazing.
Look, I got lucky because not every business has that. The No Degree name, like, thankfully I got lucky with the name. It's so easy to identify. Like, you know it right off the bat, or it's enough that like, hey, hold up, I got to check this out.
I think you would have figured it out if the No Degree name didn't work out and you had to come up with a different name. I think somehow you would have risen to the top with that.
Yeah. It's also the industry I'm in. It's a curious industry, right? Like, if I designed websites, the elevator pitch just isn't as sexy.
No, it's not. I know what you mean. When you do something that people identify with or want to identify with or think is really cool, oh, the elevator pitch is much easier.
Yeah. Versus, like, you know, when you do a traditional service and whatever, you know, and then for the resume, it's like, I help people, you know, land their dream jobs.
You've got a pretty cool gig going on there, Janiyah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and look, do you know the formula for elevator pitches? Well, you probably do.
I probably, in theory, know it. I don't know that I could spout it off the top of my head, because remember, I'm not formally marketing educated either.
Remember, I learned it from a podcast, so don't worry. I'm not formally educated on it either. So they say it's I or we or my company, right? So who it is, some variation of the word help, or who you help and what you help them with.
That's pretty much what a business does.
Yeah.
You're basically telling them what problem you solve.
Yeah. And then some interesting elevator pitches is like, you know, hey, I transform people, or like, I'm a personal trainer for your brain, right? If you're like a whatever mind hacker, something like that.
That's interesting.
Those are some other interesting ones. But yeah, that's like how you can sort of start the elevator pitch.
And keep it simple without overcomplicating it. I think most people that are starting out on their reinvention adventure journeys, a lot of people do tend to overcomplicate it. We get in our heads and kind of pump the brakes when we shouldn't, because we're, you know, fear and, oh, what if the what if, you know, series goes through your head? What if this? What if that? And really, you can't do that. You have to just go forward and take one step at a time.
No, definitely, definitely. And then look, if you're an elevator operator, you could just say, hey, I help elevators go up.
Right? Here's my elevator pitch.
Yeah.
On that note, I want to thank you so much for joining me for this episode, Janiyah, and for sharing your stories. They're really amazing.
Thank you for having me, Julie. And if anybody on the podcast, on any of your listeners wants to reach out, I think Julie will put it in the show notes, but LinkedIn, I'm pretty accessible. I'm on active on Twitter. I'm, you know, TikTok, I'm experimenting things, but I'm really accessible. Always appreciate people reaching out.
And I'm going to make sure everybody has your information on all of the platforms and TikTok. Oh, what an opportunity for all of us.
Yeah.
I'm hooked.
I got to record a video after this. So
it's a work night for you.
It is. It's always a work night.
Well, if you'd like to reach out to Janiyah or learn more about what he does, I'll be including his contact and website information in the show notes. And of course, I thank you for listening. You're a valued member of my listener tribe, and I appreciate you. I hope this was inspiring for you. Now go do something great, and don't be a stranger.
For more information about this episode, please visit the episode notes. To show your support, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening to Hey, It's Julie.